What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. Happy Wednesday morning. Hope you're doing well. This is the CBS Sports NFL Podcast. It's daily. You get it on iTunes. It's Christmas time. You're going to be traveling. You need something to listen to while you're traveling. This is the show for you. I'm Will Brinson. We're going to have shows on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve.
Look at you.
Well, I've got to talk to Jason. Yeah, Jason Lockenfora joining me as he does every Wednesday. We have to figure out how we're going to do the show next week, but we'll, I actually meant to talk to you that before we started recording, but we'll discuss it later. You know how we do planning around here. We don't do plans. Planning's for cowards.
There you go.
Subscribe, rate, and review if you like the podcast. And look, tell a friend when you're sitting. If you like the podcast, you love the Big Six Podcast, tell a friend that they should subscribe to it. Grab your aunt's iPhone that she doesn't know what she's doing with and download some podcasts. Subscribe and download. I'm going to be hammering those subscribe buttons at my family events, the Oyster Roast, over Christmas. I'm going to get at least all 97.
Get them all liquored up and then take over their phones. Like divide and conquer.
Yeah, write a review. I might go to an Apple store just to write reviews. Anyway, let's break down the latest news and notes, JLC, and then we'll talk about the Achilles heel of some various contenders, which you wrote about for CBSSports.com. Follow Jason on Twitter at Jason Lockenfora. Watch him on the NFL Today every Sunday from noon until 1. So only 2 weeks left. And then, of course, find your playoff game.
Playoffs?
Find your playoff game that's on CBS, and the NFL Today starts 30 minutes before that playoff game, right?
And I absolutely already wrote that column. That column, as we speak, has been written, and it's already been published.
You're the fastest column.
No, I'm kidding, though. I haven't written it.
No, I know.
It's Tuesday, and it's not really Wednesday.
I know that. I know you're being sarcastic, but like you write your compartmentalization is mind blowing to me because I procrastinate like nothing else, and you get down and just get down to work. So how did you not to veer off of this? But I am curious. Like, do you think that's just because you were on like the beat for so long and then?
Yeah, I've been writing on deadline. That it becomes like muscle memory, you know what I mean? Like anything else. Like I love to write on it. I mean, I never get to do it anymore. The only time I get to write on deadline is the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And that's usually a pretty nebulous deadline with, you know, given what publication is today and the internet and everything else. But yeah, I mean, that's where, you know, I hone my chops. So yeah, I think my mind still sort of operates that way. And honestly, this year, what happened last Sunday was my buddy Brian Slagle, who owns Metal Blade Records, former sponsor of this pod in a previous incarnation.
Lockenfora's Death Metal Lock of the Week.
Yes, exactly. Back in the day. He was in town to see some shows and catch up with some people. So he went to see Ghost at Barclays Center on Saturday night. I didn't get in time on the train in time to watch to get to go. And also I had to watch the football games anyway. So then he went to the Rangers game on Sunday and he's like, can I swing by the studio and hang out for a while? And I'm like, yeah. So that's why I wrote my column during the 1 o'clock games. Cause I was like, I want to get it done before he comes in so I could watch the late games with him. And you know what I mean? Talk a little bit and not have to worry about pounding the keyboard before I, you know, scramble out of the studio to catch the train home. This week I was earlier than normal cause I knew he was coming in around 4:30.
I always find, it is interesting though, cause like you worked for newspapers and you had to get a deadline in for the, I always find that like, if I have to write something, I'm unbelievably fast when it comes to reacting to news and creating content off of the news, but I'm like a little bit less fast writing a gamer. I can be quick, but I think maybe it is a muscle memory cause I grew up on the internet beat and write, like, you know, like we react to news and then you crank out whatever comes out when it comes out. You don't have to try and,
right.
You know what I'm saying? So like maybe that is a different skill set. Anyway, speaking of different skill sets, you know who has different skill sets? Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson. They have different skill sets.
Do they ever?
Yeah, they do. There's a buzz. You've been saying since the night
forever.
That Lamar Jackson.
Since he restructured his contract 3 years ago that 2019 would be it.
Right. This is it for Joe Flacco.
This is it.
Well, yeah. No, we know that. I mean, like, I think, like, again, you said it very eloquently the night Lamar Jackson got drafted. There was a buzz about a possible trade. Is that hogwash or is that legit?
I mean.
Who? Right.
He's going to make $19 million next year. He's got a cap number of 27.
Yep.
He's been hurt 3 straight years. When he got injured, they were 4-5, and he was the 26th or 27th ranked passer in the league, and he was 31st again in yards per attempt. Now, I know he doesn't have much around him, and yada, yada, yada. But I just don't, you know what I mean? Like, there's going to be maybe five teams that need quarterbacks. At least one or two of them is going to go through the draft. You've got Teddy Bridgewater out there. You've got the Tyrod Taylors of the world, the Sam Bradfords, if they still want to play. You've got the potential of maybe if Cincinnati makes a change, maybe trading for a we went through all this a few weeks back. Yeah. Dalton. You've got Tannehill. If Miami blows up that front office and coaching staff, you know, I think you could trade for Tannehill. Whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that taking flat – like, I don't know that somebody's going to be like, I got to have that guy on that contract right now. When you know Baltimore, this is not going to be a Dez Bryant situation. Baltimore, if there's nothing percolating at the combine, they're going to tell him, we're going to release you. We'll do it. We'll designate you post June 1st if we have to. And you know what I mean? We're not going to hold you back. Go see what's out there for you. You've had a great career here. You're going to go on the day you retire. You're going in our, you know, Ring of Honor, and you know you're going to have you never have to buy crab cake in Baltimore the rest of your life. So I don't see it, Will. Like I mean, let's see. Like, does Harbaugh land somewhere that they need a quarterback? Like, there's some things that could maybe play out. You know, like Jacksonville, Tampa, Miami will probably need quarterbacks, but. You know, one of them could be Bridgewater, and one of them could be Tannehill changing zip codes, and one of them, you know, I don't know, man. I just think when you watch film of him the last 3 years, and you look at the medicals, and you look at the declining statistics since the Super Bowl, I don't know, man. It's very hard to make trades in this league when everybody knows you're cutting the guy.
Mm. And when it's like. You like, hey, that's fine. We could trade for him, but we could just let you cut him, let you pay him, and then we'll give him. He'll take a $12 million incentive contract from us, and because he's already getting paid by you. I mean, like, why would
I would think you'd want to know? Okay, what is Bridgewater looking for? What is Tyrod Taylor looking for? You know, what would it cost? What would it cost to sign Josh McCown for 1 year? You know what I mean? What would it cost for whomever you think is in that mix? And then, okay, do we really want to trade for this Flacco contract? Mm. Oh yeah, you can restructure it and you can do all that, but he's still going to make $18.5 million this year. Does somebody feel like that there's an inherent competitive advantage in doing that right now versus waiting out everybody else's price point and then just saying, well, Baltimore's going to cut him in February. And you know what I mean? Like, yeah. He's going to be available before free agency officially starts. Like, we're going to know he's being cut and he's going to be able to have his deal already lined up.
Where do you think this leaves John Harbaugh? We talk about John Harbaugh all the time. I know that they still, like, they have to commit to him. You said that all along. They have to offer him a contract. Yep. If he gets in the playoffs and he wins a game, are they going to offer him a contract? I don't think they're going anywhere with the Lamar Jackson, Gus Edwards offense once they have to play good defenses. But
we're going to find out this week.
Yeah. I mean, if they're trailing 14-0 to the Chargers will win that game 28-7.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's 14, they're down 14-0, and then in every game they've ended up having at least one of these drives that goes 12 to 15 players and takes 7 or 8 minutes off the clock, and it ends in a you know, 2-yard touchdown pass, and now they're down one score. And, you know, the defense has been rested for 10 minutes, and then they play each down like it's third down and maybe bat a ball down and maybe get a sack, and now it's a 3-and-out, and now your defense is back on the field, and it's like, oh, dude, they're going to do nothing but run the ball down our throats again. I mean, I don't know. Like, you start getting the 17-0 stuff like that, I get it. But the kid also made some big third-down passes last week.
I thought, Wilson was telling me on Sunday, and I mean, we were talking about every game, so you don't have time to really, like, get into an argument about it. I thought Lamar was really good throwing the ball on Sunday.
Like, he threw guys open. He threw guys into space. Yeah. He threw a couple times in the windows where only Andrews could get it or only Snead could get it. I mean, he was far from perfect, but I would give him an A-, a B+.
Yeah.
I mean, he managed the game. He took care of business. He was the most dynamic player on the field again. Only one turnover, and that was a high snap with a wet ball. I mean, he made big third down plays, a 3rd and 9. He picked up 14. He had some explosive runs that put them on their heels. And they were also undone by a boneheaded play in special teams. I mean, the game's probably a blowout if not for Cyrus Jones handing the ball back on a punt.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, let's talk about the Arizona Cardinals and Denver Broncos.
But Harbaugh, I mean, we'll see. Bisciotti's going to pay him $45, $50 million to stay and talk about division of labor in terms of how decisions are made there, or he's not. If he's willing to do that, then they have the potential to get something done. If he's not, then he's gone.
Okay, all right, so simple as that. And look, if Harbaugh makes a deeper run, like wins two playoff games and gets to the conference championship with Lamar, he's coming back, right? I mean, like they're not going to let him walk after that.
I mean, I wouldn't think so. But, okay, he's walking after he plays out the lame duck year. Like, he's not doing an extension in season next year. So you've essentially guaranteed that he's leaving in 2020.
Hmm. I guess he could also, a lot of these contracts have mutual termination things too, where you can, I mean, not like you're going to do.
They're not going to owe him any money. He's going to get a job for more money the moment he leaves the building. So,
right. That's what I'm saying. Like, he might say, all right, if you're not going to give me an extension, I'm out. Like, I'm not.
Well, it's more like this. They sit down. Hey, you had a great season. Sorry, I hung you out to dry at that end of the game press conference last year. And well, you know, I'm already locked into promoting this GM. But man, that might have been your best coaching job. You know, let's try to figure something out. And his agent's like, well, okay, well, here's what we think is out there on the open market. And, you know, we're not doing another one-year extension. There's no Band-Aid. So, you know, this is what I think fair market value is for my client. And, you know, okay, well, we're not going to do that. All right, well, if you make us coach, you know, you're going to make us coach out the lame duck year. Okay, well, we're leaving in 2020. I mean, contractually, you could do that. Or you could address the problem now in what's going to be a pivotal offseason for your quarterback and get his long-term staff in place. Because you know what? I'm not firing any more coaches.
Yeah, all right.
So, I mean, that's how it plays out, if it goes that way.
Let's talk about some other potential openings. The Carolina Panthers played last night, so I don't know if there's any more buzz about that. Ron Rivera, Cam is shot, his shoulder is busted. That's going to create some issues, I think, in trying to find another, you know, coach, just because, again, we agree that it's a great job, but, you know, you got to deal with the fact that Cam's probably having all-season shoulder surgery. He might get shut down as soon as by the time that this podcast is airing on Wednesday. Do you think that Ron Rivera at this point at 6-8, is it over? Is it done?
It's not looking good. At the very least, there'll be more changes to that coaching staff, and that could be the breaking point there. You know, there will be a suggestion made that many more assistant coaches need to go. And then does that lead to further discussions, et cetera, et cetera? I don't think right now Tepper calls him into his office and fires him, you know what I mean, 10 minutes after the season ends. But let's also see how these final two games play out. But I, you know, there's going to be uncomfortable conversations that have to take place. And does that eventually lead with just a full-blown coaching search? It's possible. It's certainly possible.
So, in other words, just pull him in and be like, hey, listen, I want to see this, and this happen to alter what's going on with your staff in the front office. And if he's like, I don't really agree with that, Mr. Tepper.
Right.
He's like, well, right. Mr. Ron, you're out of here.
Yeah, I'm not really asking, I'm telling. And I mean, exactly.
Okay. How about the Broncos job? Vance Joseph.
That's going to open up. That's going to open up.
Mike Shanahan going to take the job?
He would take any job. Dude, nobody politics for jobs more than Mike Shanahan.
Was that?
What do you think leaked all that stuff, dude? Come on.
Mike Shanahan leaked all that stuff.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, leaked it. I mean, look, I don't want to call out Woody Page, but I mean, like, who do you think is the closest media member with Mike Shanahan
when is the last time anybody read a Woody Page story?
Yes, or Monday. When he
finished, I mean, before that. Mike Shanahan was trying to weasel his way in with Kyle in San Francisco. I mean, yeah.
Was Kyle, okay. So is Kyle not trying to like also bring in Mike? Is he like, Dad, stop leaking stories about yourself and my coaching staff. It's annoying.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about what happens at the Thanksgiving table there, but nobody politics for a job like Shanahan.
I was reading a Mike Silver old Sports Illustrated article from when Shanahan took over in Denver, and it's not shades of Hugh Jackson, just like, you could tell that like Shanahan has always had sort of the media angle in mind, like his entire career, right? I mean, you could see it every stop of the way. It just wasn't as big a deal like in Denver. You couldn't leak it to, you know, 900 bloggers or whatever. And now it's, so there's no chance that Mike Shanahan.
I mean, I remember like within 30 seconds of Shanahan being out in Washington.
Yeah.
Like, the stories, Shanahan really interested in the Bills job. It's like, well, they haven't even fired their coach yet, bro. Like, give it, you know, slow your roll.
And
A, you're not what they're looking for, but B, relax.
And the stories would pop up. It's like RG3 didn't work hard. It's like, well, tell me.
Oh, yeah. Like, I never, Shanahan never wanted RG3 in the building.
He wanted Tannehill instead. So who does John Elway go get? Because you've repeatedly said on here that John Elway is looking for somebody who will make him comfortable, but that clearly isn't working.
Yeah, I think they have to go big. I think they have to chase the best and the brightest. I think they'd have to chase Harbaugh if he's available, and Mike McCarthy or somebody like that. I mean, I don't know that they can go sort of take another chance on a coordinator. And this is not a year teeming with hot coordinators. So I would think they try to, you know, aim big.
Okay. So you see John
Elway. I'm not saying it'll work, but. Right. That's what I think they'll try.
Interesting. And they don't have, I mean, let's be honest. Philip Lindsay's great. They got some nice young wide receivers.
Defense, look, you look at the, you figure Von Miller's got a few years left. Chubb came on.
Yep.
I mean,
Chubb might set the rookie record for sacks.
Yeah. I mean, you.
Chris Harris is going to be cheap.
The trepidation is the ownership. Who's going to, when's this team, every other day there's another lawsuit.
Yeah.
You know, against the trust and Joe Ellis, and what's the team president really angling for, and when's this team going to be sold, and would Elway be a part of that group if somebody tries to buy it, and, you know, do I really want Elway in personnel? Shouldn't he be more of a, the team president at this point? And, you know, who's the GM really going to be, and who should it be? And like, no coach lasts more than 2 years under Elway. It's more, those are more the questions. I mean, the roster, look, you got to get a quarterback, sure. You got to get some more talent on offense. But they're going to end up winning 6 or 7 games this year, you know what I mean, with Vance Joseph. So it's not like it's Arizona or something like that, you know. I don't think,
yeah.
Or Jacksonville. It's not dire straits.
Well, all right. What about Arizona then? You wrote a story on Sunday indicating that Steve Wilks and also this is from Kit Summers. Excuse me. I think I mentioned this on Monday's or Tuesday's podcast, but Steve Wilks. The headline is Steve Wilks is likely to be fired by Cardinals.
Yeah.
When the columnist of record, who's been in Arizona for a long time,
yeah.
is writing likely to be fired. Steve Wilks is basically fired.
I mean, look, I think
he needs to be fired. He's had a terrible season. This team looks, I like him as a person, and I like him as he's a good coordinator. He's a good human being. But you know what?
Yes.
This team has been lethargic as hell, and they don't, he doesn't have any energy, any passion on the sidelines. Doesn't look like he's caring when they're getting
smoked. The quarterback is not developing at all. It's kind of an odd staff. The defense, I mean, he came in making massive changes on defense that the players have basically bucked and revolted against. I mean, remember, Patrick Peterson requested a trade multiple times. Like, that happened. And guess what? If he don't like what's going on there, guess what's going to happen at the combine? I still want out. So they've got a lot of things to sort through there. You know, Steve Keim is very much on the bubble as well. I mean, he's being evaluated by ownership. At the end of the day, if he presents a vision with a coach that they buy into, I don't think it's by any means a foregone conclusion that Steve Keim isn't there. It's, you know, but it's not guaranteed that he is either. I mean, to me, that one, I mean, I started hearing chatter about Todd Bowles there weeks ago. That just, to me, would make a lot of sense. Mm. You wanted to go with a defensive-minded guy. Well, Todd Bowles is a known quantity. He coached there before. He coached with a lot of those coaches who are already under staff. And still under contract, he knows how to deploy Patrick Peterson. He knows, you know, he's had some of that personnel under his guidance before. I just, that would make a lot of sense to me.
And it would really bring everybody back together. And you could see that, too, is like a – would that be a move where if you're Steve Keim, you can kind of say, hey, look, you can go to the Bidwells and say, look, you know, this Wilks thing didn't work out. That's
we
on me.
We thought maybe Wilks was Bowles, but we know, you know what I mean?
We know Bowles is Bowles.
What Todd Bowles is, and he already has head coaching experience. He's, you know, been through the cauldron in New York with the media and all that stuff. And, you know, we got to go figure out if it's Leftwich or, you know what I mean, what the offensive staff's going to look like. But he can get this defense, you know, turned around a little bit.
And you get that defense turned around, you get some offensive linemen in there. Rosen's looked fine at times, and they're not a dead squad.
At times, but hard to say. I mean, he was, you know, that was a debacle on Sunday. I mean, that kid.
Oh my God!
Every time I looked at that game, the ball was being tipped or he was being knocked on his ass.
Yeah, I mean, he has no protection, and he doesn't have. We were saying this on Sunday too. Like, they don't have. He doesn't. he would be a disaster in Buffalo too, because he doesn't have
but
he doesn't have the mobility like Josh Allen.
No,
just
the other guys, the other guy's running for 9 yards a carry. That's the only thing that's making it sustainable.
Yeah, exactly.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
How about the Bengals? Is Hugh Jackson's job to lose?
He can't win. I mean, it's hard for him to lose that job. Now 16 years on the job without a playoff win. Look, it could. I wrote about this weeks ago, and it is very much under consideration, and it's part of the reason they brought him right back in the building after he was fired with the Browns. I mean, Hugh Jackson, I think Eric Bieniemy played there. Mike Brown likes people who are sort of in the family and who he knows and who have been Bengals. I don't think this is good. It would be the longest coaching search in the history of the world. You know, I don't think he's going to be flying all over the country meeting with guys and trying to woo them and impress them and throw, you know, $8 to $10 million contracts in front of them. I think it'd be the exact opposite. So, you know, could he just roll it out there with Marvin for another year? Sure. He could. Otherwise, I think it's Hugh Jackson or you know, maybe Eric Bieniemy or some other coordinator who would come, you know, young and cheap.
I think he wants to get to that CBA. I'm convinced he sees that CBA and he doesn't want to be paying. He wants to give Hugh Jackson a contract that gets him through the CBA. You know what I'm saying? And then he doesn't have anybody on salary when a potential lockout hits and he doesn't have to worry about paying it. That seems like a very Mike Brown thing to do.
It does.
Is Greg Williams going to get this job in Cleveland? I feel like he may have cost himself pretty bad at the end of that game on Saturday night.
Look, they still won a game. When did the Browns win that game? When did the Browns go into Arrowhead with a rookie quarterback on a night that they're not at their best and still win? Now, I get it. You could say, well, the guy on the other sideline had a lot to do with it. Sure, but they won that game. That's not a game the Browns win. And it's been exactly the kind of game that Hugh Jackson would give away time and time and time again. So I don't know. I mean, they have a legit shot to go 6-2. I mean, if they go 8-7-1, 6-2, 4-4-1 in the division, he would have doubled Hugh Jackson's win total in half a season.
But I mean,
won anything under Haslam. Like, they've never come close to even looking like a functional team. I mean, even the one year they were 7-4 under Hoyer, every single week there was infighting because the owner wanted Manziel to play, and the coach was like, "How the hell we're the Browns and we're 7-4? How can we play Manziel?" So this is the first time things have actually been steady and sort of cohesive and drama free. I mean, really, the first time since Haslam took control of the team. And again, I don't hear that McCarthy's going there. And I don't think you're landing Harbaugh. So short of that, who are you getting? You know what I mean? Iowa State's signing a contract extension. I keep hearing Lincoln Riley's going to get another extension on top of the one he got in the spring. I mean, David Shaw's not leaving. Like, you know what I mean? Who are you getting?
Maybe, I don't know. It just feels like you miss a chance to really go for broke with the way that the Browns have looked to go get somebody who might come to Cleveland. John Harbaugh?
Forget the Haslams. I don't know that happens. I mean, I don't know that that's the fit. I really don't.
All right.
I don't know that you're hiring your GM before you hire John Harbaugh. Like, I don't know that that's the job. You know what I mean? I don't know that that's how that plays out.
Who's going to be the Redskins quarterback in 2019? And who's going to be the Redskins coach in 2019?
Coach, I think, is
How do you fire Jay Gruden?
I mean, you're going to blame him? He's going to take the bullet for this?
He's borderline coach of the year material with what he's done this year.
They were 6-3. I mean, before they literally ran out of players. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you Jay Gruden is a genius coach or should be coach emeritus and job for life or anything like that. But they got issues on issues on issues. I think Bruce Allen's out. I just think it becomes a business decision for Dan Snyder to where he's got to throw the fans a bone to some degree. I mean, again, firing Jay Gruden, put the Redskins' job is probably less attractive than Jacksonville and Arizona, maybe. I mean,
yes.
It's right there with
yes.
him. But you might have to give Alex Smith $54 million the next 2 years to do nothing. Like, you know what I mean? To rehab and move on with his life. Like, you know, you won too many games to get a quarterback. You've never really been able to develop or keep a quarterback. The owner is what he is, which is he doesn't win and nobody lasts there long, and your life is miserable while you're there. I mean, they have the makings of a pretty good front seven, but, I mean, the offensive line is starting to get a little bit older, and, you know, Trent Williams is more difficult each year to stay on the field. Morgan Moses is always beat up. I mean, Darius Geis, he's got infections in his injury now, too. I mean, it's like, I don't know, dude. The last time they waited out in a marketplace this crowded, they ended up with Jim Zorn after they had already hired him as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah. It's
you know, after Pete Carroll and Steve Mariucci and Steve Spagnuolo, after like five people turned the job down.
Yeah. Yeah. This is how you end up with, I don't even know who it is you end up with. If you're the Redskins, like what's the worst case scenario for Redskins fans that you land?
Joe Gibbs for the third time. I don't know. Like, you get Gibbs back out of NASCAR one more time.
I mean, like I feel like Redskins fans would be, that's like the Carolina hiring Mac Brown. Redskins fans would be like, sweet, bring on Joe Gibbs. Or like Steve Spurrier comes out of retirement for the Redskins fans.
Gibbs with Spurrier as his OC.
All right. Let's talk about Achilles heels for these various playoff teams. We'll help you work through the column that you've obviously already written.
That I've already written. It's already been edited.
The column
that I wrote that already put Copper to sleep on my lap. Yeah.
I'll run through and we'll talk about the top teams, and I've got the playoff picture here in my head.
I could just read the column. You know, I could read directly from the column if I chose to, Will, but I just choose not to.
I have no problem with that if you want to read straight from your column that you've already
read. I could read to you from the column that I have not yet written, but
Kansas City. What's Kansas City's Achilles heel? Is it the running game or is it Andy Reid or is it the defense?
I think it's primarily the inability to stop the run. And if you stick with it and if you have conviction, you're going to be able to control the clock. And they can't be as balanced on offense now. They just haven't been. I mean, it's not just Hunt, but it's Hunt and then you've got, you know, Cam Irvin, you got offensive linemen coming in and out of games. The tackles aren't great even when they're totally healthy. And, I mean, Watkins will come back at some point, and I'm not a Watkins guy, but when he's the fourth option in that offense, you're in good shape. But, you know what I mean? And Ware has been hurt ever since he replaced, I mean, he hasn't been able to stay healthy for a quarter, let alone a whole game, since he replaced Hunt. It's now beat up offensive line, can't stop the run, can't stay as balanced on offense. And you need Sammy Watkins to come back and help you win games. And Tyreek Hill's been in and out of the last couple of games.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the injury report. I mean, so you've lost collective speed, you've lost collective balance, and it's easier to exploit their deficiencies on defense. And they may lose home field. I have not felt great about them for a while. And I feel for Andy Reid because this is just sort of how January goes for him. And I don't know if it's, you know, it could shape up that way again.
Well, doesn't it feel like the Chiefs and Rams, and I think the Rams are the next team to talk about in terms of Achilles heel. I mean, doesn't it feel like they kind of,
they peaked and they're running out of steam a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, like they're sort of limping to the finish line and you know, that bye is going to be great, but you're going to be playing, you know, you're going to be hosting some scary ass wild card team, whether you're the, whatever side you're on. I mean, you're talking like maybe you're getting Russell Wilson. Maybe you're getting the Bears defense. Maybe you're getting the Vikings defense. Maybe you're getting Zeke Elliott. You know, if you're the Rams, I mean, that's suboptimal for a team that doesn't look like it can slow down Nick, or it can slow down Nick Foles, and offensively has really hit a wall.
Well, and I think if you go back and look at NFL rushing the last 5 weeks, Todd Gurley's like 25th or something like that. Like, and it's not because he's all of a sudden not great.
He's hurt.
He's just been nicked up. You know what I mean? He's been – him just missing a series here or a series there turns that into a highly optimal offense to a below-average one. I mean, it's the running back, folks. It's not the quarterback. Mm. The quarterback is like Matt Ryan. If it's a year where they're running the hell out of the ball and he's got four great options – and one of the three best play callers on the planet with him, he can look like an MVP candidate. And you take away a couple of those things, and he can look damn average. And that's what they're dealing with right now. You know, you lose Cooper Kupp, and now the running back isn't in there every single down anymore. And, boy, the plays where he's not on the field and everybody knows he's not on the field, it's tee off on golf time. And make him read the whole field and take away his hot and see what he can do. Well, you know, and – Kupp was really the guy who moved the chains, and that's his security blanket, and that's the guy he's most simpatico with and just sort of, like, knows where he's going to be. And now he's not there. And we know the defense has been vulnerable all year, but it's been playing with a lead. So, yeah, you can just let Aaron Donald play the run on the way to the quarterback when you're consistently up, you know, 21-3 or 14-0 or whatever. Well, that's not the calculus there anymore lately.
Yeah. Is Goff their Achilles heel, or is it their defense?
Well, I think it's primarily like, if it's me, I might be putting Gurley on the shelf here to make sure. I mean, this is the team that played nobody in the preseason, right? They literally didn't play any starters in the preseason.
Yeah.
Like, I almost feel like whether you're the one or the two or whatever, don't really matter at this point. Like, that cat better be himself for your first playoff game, or somebody's going to beat the brakes off you.
Right. Well, that's actually a great point. So, like, if you're the Rams, do you care more about having to bring the Saints to Los Angeles versus going to New Orleans? Like, would you rather bring the Saints to Los Angeles with a dinged up Gurley?
No.
I'm saying, like, would you rather have a dinged up Gurley against the Saints in Los Angeles or a fully healthy Gurley against the Saints in New Orleans? It's a no brainer. Right.
And it's a fast track there. And look, if I have to throw the ball 45 times against the Saints, I'm probably not winning that game anyway.
Right.
So, yeah, I just think watching him the last few weeks, I would, that's the franchise.
Yeah. Well, the good news, all right, so here's where it gets interesting. Well, you can't sit because of the way that these scheduled up. Pittsburgh and New Orleans are playing at 4:25. Los Angeles and Arizona play at 4:05. You know, sometimes the Saints games are at 1:00, right?
Right.
So you don't get the break there if you're the Rams. You would hope that the Saints would play. You could kind of do some scoreboard watching and decide on Gurley late, like whether you want to play him.
Right.
But I mean, if I'm the Rams, I'll play him against for a half. I don't know if I play him the whole time against Arizona. I mean, that's just a game you should win just by trotting out a defense. Like, you can beat the Cardinals pretty handily.
You should. I mean, you should be able to make life miserable for Rosen with your front four and whatever else.
You do have to worry about Chicago, by the way. Like, you can't, like, let Chicago walk you down. That would be a real problem.
Right.
What about the Bears? What's the Bears' Achilles heel?
I don't think they can play from behind, you know? I mean, look at Trubisky's once he gets off the script. Trubisky quarters 2, 3, and 4 is not Trubisky quarter 1. If you can get to him early, if it's a team that can really get after it with the pass rush and you get up on them, I don't think that team can win from behind. If they have to make that kid start throwing the ball downfield time after time after time, I think that's a recipe for disaster for them.
Mm. And we didn't mention do the Saints have an Achilles heel? I don't know if they do.
I mean, these slow starts on offense give me some pause. Is Drew Brees hitting the wall a little bit? You know what I mean? Is he just a little fatigued?
I mean,
the way I write this column, I mean, not that I didn't already write this column, but the way I was going to kind of set it up is that I think right now the Chargers are the best team in the AFC and the Saints are the best team in the NFC. And here's what would give me trepidation about the sort of teams that we think would be most equipped to battle them. Here's what the other top three seeds in each conference, what I'd be worried about right now.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, look, I wanted to go Chargers Saints before the season as my Super Bowl, and I backed off because I was didn't want to curse the Chargers. And it's like, you know, I thought people were going to be, I thought that was going to be the trendy thing. It ended up being the Falcons were trendy. And so I look like a jackwad. The Falcons stink. But that's fine. Who would be?
Yeah, I went back and looked because I was having dinner. Rocco had a flag football tryout the other night. So we went to dinner afterwards and we were talking about the season. And he's like, what did you pick? I'm like, let me go back and see what I filed. So I had Saints Steelers in the Super Bowl. So my Super Bowl preview is this week. And I think I had New Orleans beating Minnesota, and I had the Steelers beating the Chargers.
That's pretty good. You're in pretty good shape. I mean, you got
Minnesota's not going to get there, but
I mean, like if you get four out of four playoff teams in the champion I mean, that's not bad.
Yeah, I screwed up the AFC. I had Houston and Baltimore as my wild cards. Where I screwed up was Jacksonville winning the division, which
I
had Houston winning that division all the way up until the end, and then I chickened out and like scratched out and just went with Jacksonville because I was like, yeah, they'll fall back to the pack, but I still don't think that division's great.
Yeah.
So that otherwise I had the AFC pretty much nailed down, except I didn't have the Chiefs in at all. I had the Chiefs finishing second to the Chargers. But I didn't have them in. So if I could switch the Chiefs and the Jags, I would be good, but I won't.
All right, well, what's Houston's Achilles heel?
Offensive line. Yeah. I mean, that kid will take a kill shot at some point. You know, he's going to hold the ball to extend plays, and I think they've got major issues on that offensive line.
He's north. Deshaun Watson's north of 50 sacks now. That's sort of a problem.
Yeah. And they can come in bunches, too. I mean.
Well, and
that group. That group leaves much to be desired.
I will say, though, that, like, JLC, this is not a bad setup if you're looking at the group or the teams that Houston might have to face in the playoffs. I mean, New England, Kansas City. I mean, Kansas City has pass rushers, but.
Yeah, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, the pass rush there would give me pause.
Yeah.
San Diego.
Los Angeles.
Chargers would give me pause.
Yeah. Baltimore could maybe be a problem. What would be, What's New England's biggest? What do you think about New England? Because Brady said he goes.
I just don't think they're good enough. I don't think Brady is infallible enough now to cover up some of their other holes. I mean, that's as healthy as they're ever going to get.
Is he washed?
And that was the first week when nobody was on the injury report. The running back wasn't on the injury report. The tight end wasn't on the injury report. The wide receivers weren't on the injury report. The quarterback wasn't on the injury report, and they had to resort to trickeration because they couldn't beat them straight up.
Mm.
You know, I just don't think Tom Brady is otherworldly enough to get them over the top. And they might not get a bye. That's a team that desperately needs a bye, and they might not get it.
Yeah, they have to win out, and the Texans have to lose in order to get the bye. I mean, do you think Gronk plays football in 2019?
No.
He just walks away, or do they cut him? I mean, he's very cuttable. Like, his contract is very cuttable.
Yeah, I mean, I think however they want to do it. I mean, I think he's done.
Man, that's crazy that. Do you think Tom Brady plays football in 2019?
I think there's a better chance Brady plays than Gronk, but I don't think he's made up his mind yet. I think, you know, see how this season ends, talk to Giselle, and then, you know what I mean, talk with Kraft and say, where are we really going as a franchise now?
If he wins the Super Bowl, he walks away, right?
Hell yeah, but yeah.
I mean, I don't think they're going to win it. I'm just saying, like, I think, no, like, that doesn't reinvigorate, and that's like, I really snuck one out.
Yeah,
this
no,
time.
I think that would be it. And if he doesn't, you know, I think it's got to be, okay, where are we as a franchise? How close are we? You know, how many coaches are leaving for other jobs? You know what I mean? Like, what, you know, hey, Mr. Kraft, when are you handing it over to Jonathan? Like, what kind of a crossroads are we really at here?
Like, Bill, how long are you coaching? You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Like, do you want me to, should I?
Well, I think Bill's going to be waiting to hear Tom's. I think Bill's decision would have a whole hell of a lot to do with Tom's.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, but you would think if they're smart, they would sit down and talk it out together and say, like, hey, are we?
Yeah, I don't know if it would go that way. I think they each kind of have to. I mean, look. Bill's got a contract for one more year, right?
I have no idea what Bill Belichick's contract is.
I thought Bill's got one more year left.
Wait, is it possible Bill Belichick is in the final year of his contract?
I know. I'm saying I think he's got at least a year left.
Okay. Yeah.
So
I just assumed
it's a matter of whether Brady, you know what I mean, of whether Brady decides to have a retirement press conference at some point, you know, in, you know, February. I mean, he wouldn't have to decide right away either. I mean, he could go away for a while. Come back and, you know, before the start of free agency and let them know. I mean, who knows? Look, he might have a January like Flacco's January from 2012, and it, you know what I mean? And Like, I don't know. Who knows? But that team, their lack of speed, I just think, is and that coupled with maybe no bye is just really going to make life difficult for them.
Man, they looked – I mean, Gronk couldn't jump. Gordon couldn't catch. Edelman was dropping stuff.
No, I mean, yeah. Some of it is just a bad day, but they've had more of those bad days this year than in years past. I mean, they used to do that once a season. They're doing it once every 3 weeks now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they don't – and look, 2 weeks in a row they've had these disastrous – like tactical mistakes that they've made. I mean, Tom Brady, red zone interception?
What do you do? Well, not even, I mean, but just the way, I mean,
yeah,
across his body, up for grabs, jump ball, you know what I mean, on the far side of the field, really?
Multiple holding calls in the red zone. It's all crazy, man. I mean, who's the one team you don't want to play if you're the top seed in each conference?
So, well, if the Chargers don't win the division, I mean, it's obvious, right?
Yeah, we
both like them coming into the year. I mean, if you've got to host them wild card weekend, you're not feeling very good about it. You know, I still think Seattle can.
Mm-hmm.
I know last week was an abomination. I mean, that was what they did last week was fairly disgraceful.
That was a weird spot though. They were coming off a Monday night win over the team they had to beat to really secure a wild card spot. I know they haven't clinched yet, but they're going to get to 9 wins and that'll be good enough to get in. They were going on the road against a division rival that's trying to muster something, you know, and is well coached, and they're looking ahead to Kansas City on Sunday night. It was a weird spot for them. The line, we talked about this last week, the line's 3.5. That stinks. And that's when you take San Francisco. I didn't.
But. Yeah, I just thought, I mean, the way they lost was, I mean, they had 14 penalties for like 200 yards. Yeah. I mean, that's why they lost the game. I mean, otherwise, there's still at least a field goal better than that team. I mean, it took overtime. It took all those penalties. It took, a collective series of brain cramps from that team. It took a colossal special teams meltdown. It took a lot for them to still eventually lose that game. You know, over the course of 67 minutes or whatever it was, I think they should have been better than that. I mean, let down or not, you got a chance to clinch the playoffs and, you know, maybe rest some guys down the stretch and lock yourself into a 5 seed. I don't know.
What's ahead
of the Chiefs?
What's Seattle's Achilles heel?
Well, I mean, they can't play from behind. They have to stay incredibly balanced. They're young and naive on defense. It showed in that game, with the penalties and some of the mistakes. And now some of those penalties were questionable as well, but they looked like a young, naive team, particularly on that side of the ball. And let's face it, that's where the huge turnover has taken place. But I still think, fired up for a playoff game, going to Dallas or going to Chicago,
mm-hmm.
I still like their chances. They're going to run the ball 35 or 40 times. They're going to break a fair share of those runs. I think in a situation like that, you take Russell Wilson out of the bubble wrap. You know what I mean? And he might be their leading rusher in that game if he has to be. And he was their leading rusher pretty much every game last season. And they don't have to do that now because they're going to have three guys who probably all are over 700, 750 yards rushing. But on that day, could Russell, you know what I mean, run it 8 times for 100 yards? Yeah, he probably could.
All right. What about the Cowboys? Jason Garrett's his Achilles heel. That's the only answer we'll take.
Scott Linehan, yeah, I mean, whatever. Lack of ideas on offense.
How about Matt
Eberflus? Well, they just got punched in the face. I mean, the biggest surprise of the weekend for me, like, it's not that the Colts won that game. It's how the Colts won that game. They beat Dallas at their own game. They beat them, mauled them at the line of scrimmage on both sides. Like, they didn't out-trick them so much. They didn't out-scheme them so much. They just outworked them, and they out-physical them. I mean, what they did against that front seven in the run game,
yeah,
I was stunned. And then on the other side, what they did to take away Zeke, pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, Matt Eberflus, coordinator of the year? Maybe.
Oh, I hadn't thought. I mean, he's got to be way up there. I hadn't considered it really at all recently, so I'm just kind of flying blind here, but he's
had a really good season. I mean, he's had a great season.
He'd have to be way up there.
All right, That's it. You got anything else? I forget anything?
No.
Copper doing okay? Dude. Copper, everything good with Copper?
He's good. He just woke up from a nap.
Nice.
Go back to the doctor's the day after Christmas, see what the surgeon says. Hopefully we're where we're supposed to be.
All right. Follow him on Twitter at Copper Lock and Fora. Follow Jason at Jason.
Yeah, I don't know who runs that account. It's like if there's anything, you know, untoward on there.
Maybe don't follow.
Neither I nor Copper have any links or ties to that Twitter feed. So he does not speak for us, but it can be occasionally humorous, I guess.
All right, man. We will talk to you next week, buddy.
All right, buddy. Look forward to it. Thanks, buddy.